Hello and good day, everyone. This is Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers. On this podcast, we talk all about the pioneer format of Magic, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
And I am his co-host, Ryan Schwenk. Sorry, you didn't introduce yourself yet. You should do that first.
I said my name.
Did you?
I'm good.
Okay, so yeah, so I'm Ryan Schwenk. I'm the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan.
All right, and we're going to kind of continue what we started off last week. So we might not finish this series, but, you know, we like to look at all of the different aspects of the format here. So sometimes we're going to be more of spikes. Sometimes we're going to be more finance related. Lately, we've been kind of going into almost card design, I wanted to say. So last week, what we discussed is
card design
or
set design, yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to look at kind of what the different planes are in the Pioneer format and, you know, what we got from them, what we hope to see from them in the future.
Yeah, I mean,
so it kind of comes to what we love about this format is really getting to take all of these different things that, you know, they really have their own world built up, they have their own set built up, and put them together with sets that either they were built to go with or they weren't built to go with, you know, years later, but they really have nice ways that they combine. And that, for me, that's what's cool about Pioneer. And I think that they've done a great job at keeping things kind of distinct and keeping things at a good power level where they mesh well.
Yeah. Sorry. What I was just going to add to that, you know, it's, you said we weren't going to, you know, finish it right now. We do have some big new stuff coming up. There's the GPs coming up at the end of this month. We have the Theros Beyond Death set review coming up as well. It will.
Yeah. So when we are recording this, we are just a day before the set fully drops. So we're going to be recording a set review for it sometime in the next probably week.
Yeah.
And trying to get that out as soon as possible for people who are excited to think about, hey, what's it going to do to shake up the format?
Yes. So, you know, this is, we're still, you know, we're kind of lacking in results and, like you said, the spiky content. So this is just kind of a, just a little bit of a, like we said, exploration. We are the first pioneers and we want to explore the format with you. I think that's what the tagline that I made last time in our last episode.
All right. So the last episode we talked all about Innistrad.
Yeah, so we talked about Shadows of Innistrad, and we talked about Eldritch Moon, and as well as any reprints that showed up from like the Dark Ascension or previous Innistrad block.
Yeah, so we talked about like what the major themes were and how those have played out in Pioneer. We talked about what we hope to see from the plane in the future, as well as a little bit, you know, looking back at, we didn't get the original Innistrad block in Pioneer, but what some of those might have brought if we were, you know, visiting more of the plane than what we did.
Yeah, like what would we like to see come back, that sort of thing.
So we're going to look at two different planes this week. Because they are kind of standalone here, we couldn't go quite as deep on them. We're going to look at the Amonkhet block, so Amonkhet, Hour of Devastation, as well as looking at Ixalan and Rivals of Ixalan.
Yeah, those are kind of baby blocks. They don't really have a long history. but they do have some cards that have been showing up in Pioneer, so.
Yes, they do. Some cards, some archetypes. So I think that I'm happy to jump into. Where did you want to go first?
Let's talk about like possible archetypes, first, right? Like we did last time. So, like, you know, we have these two blocks. What archetypes does Ixalan give us, and what archetypes does Amonkhet give us?
Ooh, did you want to go back and forth, or did you want to let's focus on Amonkhet and then let's focus on Ixalan?
I mean, yeah, we can just do all Ixalan for this topic, and then after we finish talking about Ixalan, we can talk about Amonkhet.
Well, I want to go the other way
around. Or did you want to do everything and then do the same? Say, like, how do you want to do it?
All right, let's go ahead and do it your way. So we'll go into Amonkhet first because we're going chronologically. We're not going to do Ixalan first. You're crazy.
Okay, so Amonkhet's before.
Okay. All right, so when you think about Amonkhet, when you think about, you know, the standard format, when you think about the draft format, what kind of cards come to mind? What are some of the archetypes that really spring out for you?
God Pharaoh's Gift.
Ooh, okay.
I think that was like one of the big things that we got from Amonkhet was the God Pharaoh's Gift strategy.
So specifically that card, or are you kind of lumping the Eternalize,
yeah,
Scarab God?
Well, I would say, I mean, that's Reanimator.
Okay, so that's kind of a good card on its own.
The theme of Reanimator. There's two different decks there, two different archetypes, I think. You have the like we said, the God Pharaoh's Gift deck, and then you also have the Scarab God deck.
And you've got some other things that showed up a little bit, like Champion of Wits. I think of the you know, that whole cycle of wizards.
But the archetype, the red one. Just archetype by itself. Those two archetypes, okay. The Reanimator archetype. Before we get into
cards. That's the 2-card archetype.
Yeah. So Reanimator was one thing that I thought of a lot. So stuff coming back from the graveyard.
For me, the first one that obviously springs to mind was Sand. You know, we only got a handful of deserts, but the new desert cards I thought were cool. You know, we immediately wanted to see more of them. For me, those haven't played much of any role in Pioneer. I mean, you see Ramen Up Ruins every once in a while. Maybe the black one, but those are kind of...
Well, before...
You know, the actual Deserts Matter cards, maybe Hour of Promise back when we had...
Field of the Dead?
Yeah, that was a deck.
Yeah, I was going to say. I
that mean, was it, gross.
It was an archetype, and now it's not anymore.
So. I suppose that's true.
Zombies, I think, is another one. I think Amonkhet gave us a lot of zombies.
Yes, and it gave us a little bit of a different flavor of zombies, right? So there was a lot of stuff that came back as zombies. Not so many just zombies on their own, if I remember right.
Yeah, stuff that came back, like the Earthshaker Kenra came back as a 4/4 mm-hmm. zombie. I think the zombie, archetype as well did rather well. I think there was you had like a Liliana that made zombies, and then you had, I'm pretty sure that 5-mana enchantment was also in Amonkhet, right? The one that made...
Yeah, the Lilianas, whatever.
Yeah, that made zombies. So that zombie archetype, I think, really kind of took off because of Amonkhet.
Now, my problem is that we still really haven't quite seen zombies be competitive. You know, it's one of the...
Tier 2, maybe.
...tribes that's gotten a fair amount of support.
Yeah.
And, it just hasn't quite gotten there, Some of the... part of the problem is that some of their strategies don't really work well together. I feel like I have the same problem a little bit with elves and Pioneer,
mm-hmm.
is that there's a lot of good elves, but there aren't... there's a lot of different strategies that fit under elves, and there's like, okay, there's two good rampy elves, there's mm-hmm. two good stompy elves, there's two good, enter the battlefield elves, and you don't have enough of the same kind to do one thing powerful enough. And it's kind of the same for me with zombies, is like, there's a couple aggressive zombies, there's a couple of grindy zombies, there's a couple of, like, drain you zombies, mm-hmm. but you don't have, like, 5 good aggressive zombies to build an aggressive zombies deck out of.
Yeah. What else? Amonkhet. Any other archetypes you think that the set kind of, or the block?
You just talked quickly about one of the tribes of Amonkhet. Were there any other tribal strategies that got really any play? I mean, they tried to give us jackals, and we got a lord, but that doesn't do anything.
I don't really think so.
Yeah, a little bit of a shame there. We got gods, but they didn't really have support.
Yeah, the gods were kind of a letdown, except for the Scarab God.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, I guess the other...
Nope. No, Hazoret, Romas.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. So another archetype that I think owes a good deal to Amonkhet is Soul Flayer, because of cycling cards, stuff that makes it really easy to put stuff into your graveyard.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good graveyard decks in the format. I don't know how much of them come strictly from Amonkhet. Was strategic planning Amonkhet?
Strategic.
I want to say that's one of those good ones that
I'm not,
does some nice things.
Yeah, I think strategic planning.
And some of the Aftermath cards, Claim to Fame, Driven to Despair.
Yeah.
Those are pretty cool.
So some of those cards I think came from Amonkhet. Would you say tokens also came from Amonkhet?
There was support for tokens. I haven't seen it get big in Pioneer yet, and I kind of wish it would. There are some strong token cards. You think back to the green-white tokens from their standard day. You could combine it with some of the tokens deck from Our Devastation. You'd think that you'd be able to put something together here, but it hasn't quite worked out.
Because we got, the Anointed Procession in there and mm-hmm. some other really good token effects, but I don't think it ever really, never really took off.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Now, I know it's not quite an archetype, but I feel like Amonkhet Hour of Devastation is where they started to experiment more on having, like, real hate cards in the main sets.
Was that so where I think we got, things like kind of, you know,
Harsh Center or Harsh Mentor. Uh-huh. We got, like, Prowling Serpipard. Uh-huh. We got, what's the one in white that I'm thinking of? You know, we got Solemnity.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those kind of things are kind of cool, is that, you know, that's kind of when they started to do this, and I think that's continued. It's something that people have liked, and we're continuing to see through standard sets today.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot of role players in Amonkhet. Mm-hmm. It didn't really give us so many, you know, powerful archetypes, but it gave us a lot of cards that are kind of like key cards, I think, in a lot of different strategies.
Yeah, maybe. So what do you want to see from this block in the future? You know, if we ever go back to Amonkhet, what are you really hoping to see? What do you want to see pushed? What do you want to see revisited?
Okay, so we're just talking about all that stuff now? All right.
Yeah, let's talk about that, and let's talk about what we thought were some of the most impactful cards for Pioneer from this set.
Okay, so for things I'd like to see in the future for Amonkhet, I'd like them to kind of put in more cycling cards. You know, we only got half of the cycling lands, and I think, you know, if we ever do go back, or if we ever have more cards printed in like a core set or something like that, I would love to see a couple more, you know, like nice creatures, big creatures that you can cycle and get value for, maybe even to like use with Soul Flayer decks, like I said.
Okay.
What about you? What would you like to see?
I'd go again. My first one would be getting those deserts. I'd love to see, you know, something that really puts those together. And at this point, you know, a lot of the area has been kind of destroyed. It kind of got blown up a little bit when people were leaving there. So the desert's about all that we know will be in the next time we go to Amonkhet, I would guess.
If we go back to Amonkhet, right?
Yeah, if we ever go back. Or, you know, if it shows up in a core set,
yeah,
maybe we'd see, like, some deserts.
So some more Desert Matter cards, basically, you'd like to see.
Yeah.
I know, I kind of like the monuments. I'd like to see, you know, similar... Mm-hmm. You know, monument type effects in the future, maybe again as something in like a core set. You know, we had Oketra's Monument, which was kind of a fun, maybe tier 2 deck, and then, you know, Bantu's Monument, Ronus's Monument, and stuff like that. So I wouldn't mind seeing like a new Gods of Amonkhet's monuments or similar effects.
A big one for me, I think, would be Exert. I thought that was a pretty good mechanic. There were a handful of cards that I think were, you know, playable.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see just some more of that. Get some more Exert cards, some more Exert Matter cards.
Yep, yep, definitely. I really liked, well, I mean, that's probably in the next part talking about which cards I really liked, but Glorybringer.
Yeah.
Love that card.
That's a good one.
Best one. Best Exert card.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think there's much argument. You know, Glorybound Initiate's not bad. There was the Uncrop Crasher.
Is that the 3/2 red card that Turk creature can't block? Yeah.
Yeah, makes somebody not able to block. That's pretty cool.
Doesn't see too much play yet, but, you know, possible potential in that card, I think. So did you want to talk about, like, your top final five or top 10 cards from the set, or...?
Yeah, let's make it like a top five between the two. Maybe a couple honorable mentions if you want, but I don't think we need to go deep on every single card that's playable from the block.
So I already talked about Glorybringer, so let's talk about that one first.
All right, well, so Glorybringer, you know, it's continuing to see... I'm amazed, because I never thought that Glorybringer... Like, I always knew it was good, but you would think that it would share some kind of space with... oh, God, what is the one from Theros block? The
Stormbreath Dragon? One.
Yeah, Stormbreath Dragon. You know, Stormbreath Dragon was like the archetypical, it's a 4/4 haste flying dragon, and more stuff. And it's pretty amazing to me that, you know, Glorybringer is almost strictly better, I think, in the format right now. And I don't know if that's all because white isn't a color, so protection from white doesn't matter.
It's not a threat, yeah.
Yeah, but Glorybringer is very sweet.
Yeah, Glorybringer is now currently seeing play, I believe, as a 4 of in like the big red decks.
Yeah, and some of the green-red stompy ones as well.
Yeah, it just gives you a lot of value. It's removal on a stick. It's very hard to block. So, very, very good card, I think. Probably maybe my number one pick, I think, for the Amonkhet block.
So, okay, so you're going that way.
I would say it's my number one pick.
I would have to argue that if I'm going number one, I would put the Scarab God there.
That would be up there,
as a standalone card. And, you know, I think we were excited. We were saying that, hey, this card's going to come back now that Oko is not, you know, eating him for breakfast.
Yeah, yeah. And he's shot up in price, too. I think a lot of people are kind of seeing the value in you know, returning people's creatures from the graveyard. And I guess graveyard hate isn't as, you know... how could I say? Commonplace. It's there, but
I think it's getting pretty commonplace. I think, especially with this new set coming with so many graveyard cards in it, that people are going to be ready and able to answer graveyard strategies. But then again, you know,
will they be playing Rest in Peace?
I mean, if your opponent's on like a blue black control deck, they're not going to bring in Rest in Peace just for Scarab God, probably.
Yeah,
like it's hard to justify something like that. Like maybe if they've got Dig, you could consider it, but it's tough.
I mean, I just like it because, you know, if you put it into the graveyard, you can still get stuff back, which gets around the whole Colitis effect.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Scarab God. Okay, yes, I agree. Maybe number one. Right behind it then would be Glorybringer.
All right, I think that's pretty fair.
Okay, so number three. What would be your third pick? Top five Amonkhet cards in Pioneer.
See, there's so many pet cards. I'm like, do I want to just pick the lame ones? I feel like Soulscar Mage has to be up there for me.
Yeah.
You know, this was... We didn't really talk about how red aggro really did become such a powerful thing in this format. You know, we think about Ramen Up Ruins. We think about Hazoret Red.
Mm-hmm.
And that more aggressive side of red really began with Amonkhet. And it's definitely carried through Pioneer.
Yeah, when we were playing Frontier, you know, way back in the day, yeah, Soulscar just kind of supercharged the format. He saw a lot more play than Hazoret did, actually.
Yeah, I would say a lot more. And, you know, I'm even seeing some decks nowadays playing Soulscar Mage and not playing Swift Spear.
Yeah.
Which I think is very interesting.
I mean, it kills gods, which is great. It's basically helps the red decks win against those mid-range strategies that have these huge creatures they can't attack through.
It's also particularly nasty with
Chain Whirler.
Goblin Chain Whirler, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Soulscar, yeah, it's my top five. I don't know if I would say it's number three, but it's definitely in my top five.
Okay, what do you have on your top five that haven't been covered?
Well, I think Abrade needs to have a little bit of... how can I say?
Good set for red.
Yeah.
Good set.
You need to talk a little bit about Abrade just because, and yeah, we don't have to worry about Smuggler's Copter anymore, but it's just still good, solid, all around card, I think, for the format, even as like maybe a two of, you know, in a...
Kind of where I'm saying in that we've had it was the start of seeing kind of, you know, mixed answers that are main deckable.
Yeah, yeah, a main deckable. Yeah, it's an all-star, I think. You know, it hits like Aetherworks or I don't know what other dangerous artifacts do we have to worry about now. Heart of Kieran, maybe.
Mm-hmm, definitely Heart of Kieran.
You know, if they have a huge
or Aethersphere Harvester, that's another one.
Yeah, yeah, or if they have a huge Ballista in play.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want them to attack with it. Yeah, you just blast it. So yeah, it's a good all around, I think, Pioneer all star.
And it's one of those cards that, you know, if you've heard me talk before, you've heard me say like, I'm waiting for the white Abrade. Where's our white Abrade?
Yeah, except exile effect, right?
Yeah, you know, something that's that level of a good removal spell. Like that's the perfect power level for a removal spell is Abrade right there. You know, Fatal Push is awesome. It's a little pushed. Partly because like it's so easy to turn on Revolt, but Abrade is like spot on primo.
So are we gonna kind of try to, you know, agree to disagree on the fifth choice, or are we gonna do like an honorable mention maybe?
Ooh, what do you got? Because I'm not sure if I can narrow down a fifth one very easily.
Well, like I said before, the God Pharaoh's Gift. I kind of think that would probably be in my top five. Just because it enables...
I feel like I would have put that in my honorable mentions just because it's kind of one of those, can you build around it or can't you? And it's a good card. It's a good card. I'm trying to think of something that else that's like, you know, stands out. I'm seeing some little ones. I see Cast Out was a powerful card.
I think it's kind of meta-dependent. Yeah, Cast Out's another good card. That's more...
kind of just generically good.
Yeah, generically, I mean, the decent. Cycling is good, and, you know, the instant speed exile effect is really nice. It's another one of those all-stars, but I think, you know, a Braid is just a little bit better than that. Like,
sure.
A little bit more of a staple, I would say. So between Godfarer's
Power Gift, of Promise might be the other one I would consider as a arguable in that slot.
Which one?
Our Hour of Promise. The green one.
Hour of Promise as the...
as a possible other one to fit in that slot.
Okay. I mean, okay, maybe not Godfarer's Gift. There's a couple that I could kind of see in, like, the fifth spot. Hazoret, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's not like a four of, so I didn't really see it as being, like, super important to the format. It's more of like a one or two. It's a nice kind of...
Ramen Up Ruins.
Yeah, Ramen Up Ruins is another good one. That should probably be number five, I think, because it really enables... It gives Mono Red that reach that, you know...
I didn't want four red cards in our top five there.
Yeah.
Is all right.
Jeez. I mean, there's just so many other things that I think are really good, but that I don't think that they really add a lot to the format. Like I said, they're just these key cards. Like you said before, Solemnity, I think, is a really solid card from the block.
Gideon of the Trials probably also deserves a mention.
Solid card, yeah. What was the other one? Approach of the Second Sun.
Yeah, I mean, there's other good control finishers,
yeah.
So that hasn't really been seen play, but maybe it'll show up one day, or it'll show up sometimes in a combo-y kind of deck.
Yeah, so there's definitely cards there, but I just don't see them, like, having a huge impact on the format right now. They're just really good alternative options. That's what I would say Amonkhet is kind of good for.
All right, now how about Ixalan? I feel like that's the pronunciation, right?
Yeah,
you know, I'm kind of Ixalan. Self-guessing myself.
Yeah.
You guys used to make fun of me for some pronunciations.
For Merfolk.
Yeah, Merfolk.
Merfolk, yeah. So
with an E, Merfolk.
So yeah, moving on to Ixalan, archetypes, Merfolk.
Yeah, tribal. I think Ixalan did a very good job of kind of having some pretty distinct archetypes. You know, we've got, what is it, five different tribes that we're definitely going to need to talk about. We've got some sweet mechanics that really did play well. So let's jump into with tribes, because I was just talking about Merfolk.
Merfolk. Yeah, it never...
It's not a U, it's an E.
It always seemed like it was playable. I'm always disappointed in Merfolk.
You know, yeah, I it's one of those things I regret not going back and testing more. Yeah, when it first came out, you know, a bunch of people were testing it, and I was like, oh my god, this deck seems insane. They're playing it with, like, Hardened Scales, or they're playing it with Collected Company, or they're playing it with Smuggler's Copter, and I was like, oh man, that's scary. And then, like, no one actually seemed to bring it to any events, and I was just like, oh, so it's not a deck then. I guess people figured it out, and I'll let them do the math there. You know, I tend to test everything, and it's just one of those things that slipped through my grasp. But for me, I always felt like, you know, I was like, blue-green just, you know, that color combination doesn't have any bombs in it, doesn't have removal in it, so there's no way Merfolk can be good. I feel a little regret for not being like, now it's Merfolk with Oko, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
But too late now for that.
That would actually be one of my predictions. You know, sorry, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I'm hoping Merfolk eventually becomes a playable strategy in Pioneer.
Yes, I think that's reasonable. I think that we will continue to see, you know, just the fact that they're small, blue, disruptive creatures. The more of them we see, the more likely that is to become a deck. We would probably need to see another Lord or something like that.
Yeah, we got one right now. The Mystical.
Yeah, and it is a 2-mana Lord, which is nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, other tribal strategies, Vampires.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about Vampires last time, and this has a different take on Vampires, the Black-White Vampires, which actually seems to have done a little better than Black-Red.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, there's some good White Vampires, Legion's Landing, we saw the Lord.
Yeah, yep. So we get the Lord, we got a little bit of card draw, we get the Champion of Dusk, and...
Adanto Vanguard was the other
one. Yeah, Adanto Vanguard. So, in Pioneer, of course, Mono Black Vampires, very very popular deck, and...
Yeah, you know, I'm very surprised. It's one of those that I'm like, oh, I know that deck's good, I really should put some time into testing it, but I haven't. And I'm very surprised that people haven't tried, or if they have tried, that hasn't shown up. You know, just splashing for white, getting the Lord in there at 2 mana, maybe getting Adanto Vanguard, which is just such a beater.
And I think...
Especially with Sorin.
Yeah, Sorin is just really good, especially if you can, like, cheat in something like... I don't know, what's the... the Dragon Maze guy. I forgot his name. Blood Lord of Viscopa or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Blood Baron.
Or Blood Baron of Viscopa, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You get just a little splash for white, you get that Blood Baron in there.
Yeah, yeah, and the Lord, of course. So
good stuff.
Yeah, so I like that. What are the other tribes?
So dinosaurs. Yeah. And I think that this was, you know, kind of within itself as a real tribe. They had some tribal identity. I don't feel like, you know, they're definitely not strong enough to carry over to Pioneer.
Not yet.
Partly because they're not, they're not showing up in enough sets. They tend to be kind of expensive.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to see, like, you know, Regisaur Alpha, you know, seeing Carnage Tyrant, even seeing some play. Those would be cool cards to see showing up. They just haven't really been, they're a little too slow. They die to sweepers really easily.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's another strategy that could possibly, you know, see more play in the future. They did a lot of Eritas when Ixalan came out. They changed a lot of those old lizard cards to actual, you know, dinosaurs. I think like Mistjaw, or so was it. What was the raptor's name from?
Deathmist Raptor.
Is it Deathmist Raptor, the one from Dragons of Tarkir?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's actually a dinosaur now. So
I definitely think they did a better job in this set than in Eldraine. They had, you know, they introduced warlocks, I believe.
Mm.
And all of the witches in that set were actually warlocks.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the, like, black shamans were warlocks. Mm-hmm. But they didn't go back and errata anything. Like, there's literally creatures with, like, called warlock or called witch. And they didn't make them into a warlock. And I think that's really weird.
Yeah, a little confusing there.
Yeah.
So vampires, merfolk, dinosaurs.
Well, as long as we're talking, let's go a little deeper on dinosaurs. Because they had a ability that was kind of unique to dinosaurs. Was the enrage mechanic. Yeah. And I'm just, I feel like it's one of those things that I wanted to be good. It's such a cool idea, and in Constructed, it really let me down.
I mean, they did print that new card. It was M19, or maybe it was M20, the 2-mana red dinosaur that does 2 damage to, was it a creature when it comes into play?
Yeah, yeah, and we didn't really, you know, we should have tested that maybe a little more, because it was a standard deck. You know, Jund Dinosaurs was a standard deck.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can get, you know, Ripjaw Raptor in there, and have some fun.
I think it like that type of strategy is probably going to need a couple more, you know, maybe core set, you know, printings of like some random dinosaurs to make it playable. Something that, you know, has answers, you know, for like the board wipes or
that could be,
or, you know, whatever. So it's something that could, you know, be playable in the future. Not tier one, but playable.
Mm-hmm.
So other than those three tribes, were there any other tribes you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, there was one more tribe. There was pirates. Oh, so there was four tribes in the set, not five.
So yeah, we did see a lot of pirates. We haven't seen a lot of pirates since, though.
No, we really haven't, and that's really going to hold them back. You know, even if there were potentially a pirates deck, you know, it didn't do great in standard, and
did we have any?
I don't think it's going to do anymore.
We had a couple pirates. No, we only had like one pirate in Kaladesh block, right? Kari Zev was like the only one, the sky pirate.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically that's what we would need in the future if we ever go back to the Kaladesh, you know, plane. We would have to get a couple more pirates that way.
And it's definitely tough because you don't really see, you know, I've kind of talked about this before, I think, on the show, but I think it was back when we were a Frontier podcast, mm-hmm. to listen to, is that it's hard for Wizards to design a standard legal deck that's a tribal deck, because if it's good enough to be a standard legal deck, then it's the easiest deck to solve the format with. You just so, okay, here are all of the good pirates. Yeah. I put them all in one deck and then I'm done.
Here are the good energy cards. Really, here are the good, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so what they really try to do is they try and always make it something that's like, it's strong enough to be fun maybe in limited, or it's strong enough to be a casual deck, but they do a good job of not making in a single standard block a tribal deck that powerful most of the time.
Yeah.
So that's what's cool about a format like Pioneer, where I get to take the pirates from this set and the pirates from this set, or the zombies from this set and the zombies from that set, combine them all together, and then you can actually put something together that resembles a powerful deck, and there's enough options available that you're not going to solve the format.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you can make a tribal deck, a tier 2 strategy, I think, in standard, that's fun, but maybe, you know, not competitive.
Quick here.
But that deck will then become a competitive deck, I think, once you get to an Eternal format like Pioneer. So I think that pretty much covers all the tribal strategies. What other things did Ixalan enable?
Yeah, you know, we talked quickly about Enrage, but we also had some good ones. So I'm going to go with Explore, because I think that was one of the best mechanics that, you know, really made a deck. Jade Light Ranger, the Merfolk Branchwalker.
Merfolk Branchwalker.
And as well as, of course, the guy who grows when you get him. Normally those kind of cards don't make it out of Limited, but that one did.
Something Walker. Not a Planeswalker.
Yeah, Wild Growth Walker.
Wild Growth Walker, yeah. And that's actually, I think it's still a solid deck in Pioneer. I've seen people using it from time to time.
I have seen people using it, yes.
I don't know what actually it gets from the newer sets, though.
And that's kind of the awkward part, is that core, you know, those 12 creatures, and sometimes two more of them if you're in green-black, really can't be changed. You know, you can't ever cut them because they're just the main part of that strategy. So as we get better green creatures, maybe we'll just see that whole section of cards come out as a whole. But yeah, unless we get more Explore, I don't think they'd be any better.
Yeah, that core, shell will always be there. But I could definitely see like the payoff cards getting better and better. Like when we got into the Guilds of Ravnica block, they added the blue, so we got the Hydroid Krasis to that deck. Yeah. So I could definitely see it, you know, switching back and forth, maybe just going green-black if, you know, green-black has better creatures, or Soul Tie, or, you know, even Junk, depending on, you know, what payoff cards they want to play. So Solid Shell, like you said, whenever those new cards come out, you can just slot them right in there. So we had Tribal Strategy Explore. Anything else from Ixalan? I still say that, you know, we got Zatalpa.
Okay.
And, I mean, that was like a big, pretty much like one of the main cards in the Soul Flare deck. So I would definitely say that Ixalan helped enable the Soul Flare strategies.
I mean, oh yeah, okay. I mean, it's like one deck, so
it's one card, I know, but I mean,
one card and one deck.
But like, if
it, you know, there was also Raid that didn't see a ton of, you know, no one's building a Raid deck.
Yeah.
What about Ascend? That had some cool cards individually. I don't know if it,
matters
much.
I always wanted to make a deck out of that Wayward Sword Finder, you know.
Wayward Swordtooth?
Sword Finder. Yeah, it always seemed like a sweet card, and just, I don't know, man, it could be possible now, because we got that, you know, Beyond Theros, Beyond Death, the new 2/3 Dryad, right? For 3 mana.
Or 2/4, I think.
Or 2/4. Yeah, so you got all these multiple, you play extra land, play extra land, play extra land. I don't know, I mean,
I feel like they get worse in multiples, because you run out of cards in hand real quick.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're running 31 lands in your deck, and then what are you doing?
Yeah, or returning them to your hand and dropping them again. But yeah, you don't want to do that.
No. Yeah, I think let's just go into what, you know, if we go back to this plane, what do we want to see them revisit? What do we want to see the, you know, get some more help? Which of those strategies you want to see get better? So I think we already talked about, you know, I think all four of these tribes, I wouldn't mind seeing more of. You know, especially kind of pirates, especially dinosaurs, because those are kind of unique to hear. I think, you know, merfolk too.
Yeah, I want to see more. I want to see dinosaurs that are vehicles.
Okay.
You know, that people can ride. You know, like, I think that'd be kind of an interesting way to kind of, you know, to, I don't know, get a, how could I say, to get more dinosaurs into play. You know, treat them like vehicles. Like, you need to have, like, some, a rider to like be able to activate them, so that could be fun.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then white vampires, of course. But yeah, what about some of the mechanics?
The cards that flip into lands. I wouldn't mind seeing more.
Yes,
of those.
Those were very cool. I would love to see more of those. I think those worked out really well. I think those are pretty strong.
Only one was really strong, though, right?
But some were also really bad.
Yeah. So that
Storm the Vault was a terrible card.
Those could use a little bit more balance. Also, I mean, like the artifacts that flipped into lands was also kind of cool. The enchantments.
Yeah, and also pretty bad, though.
Yeah. Okay. But I think there's a lot more design space. They can explore that a little bit more. I wouldn't mind seeing that again next time they go back to Ixalan.
Yeah, now what will be tough, I think, is that some of what people liked about Ixalan was kind of the, you know, exploring a big area. Mm-hmm. And I think that if they go back to Zendikar being that kind of plane, mm-hmm. that it'll be hard to find a unique identity between the two of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because that kind of is how I feel about Throne of Eldraine. You know, it doesn't feel that different from the Innistrad block to me. It's really similar.
Now, maybe what would be interesting if we came back to Ixalan is if, like, you know, they were kind of colonization era. Mm-hmm. If we, like, you know, they come back and the plane has aged, you know, 300 years and now they're on, like, pre-industrial area.
Wow.
Kind of go, like, a, you know, a real time jump there. So, you know, the dinosaurs have all but died out, but they're, you know, maybe they're vehicles now. Maybe they're working beasts.
Wow.
You know, Zakama's in the background somewhere. That'd be kind of cool. I feel like that's a way they could make a story out of it.
They get, what do you call it? Turned into, like, you know, let's say, like, Tezzeret comes there and turns them all into robots. There we go.
Yeah, you know,
okay, we're taking that joke too far. Sorry.
All right. Yeah, we'll go back a little bit. We'll take a hard step back.
Yeah. Here. Sorry, guys. So yeah, let's.
All right. Anything else you really want to see from this set? If they came back to Ixalan,
I wouldn't mind more exploring.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, a couple more
explore. And some more explore matters is really cool.
I mean, I don't even think you really have to even lock explore to the Ixalan plane. I think you can maybe add that into other sets or even core sets in the future. I wouldn't mind seeing a
couple
more.
Sure, yeah, it's a pretty versatile mechanic.
Especially in, like, the non-green colors. Like, more black and white explore effects.
Yeah, they were really not good outside of green and sort of black.
Yeah. All right, so top five?
Ooh, okay, yeah.
This is a little harder.
So my top five is going to be pretty heavily loaded with... You know, we talked a little bit about how Amonkhet was a strongly, like, red aggro, got its kind of birth here. I feel like Ixalan is really where Control got its feet back in the format. Yeah. And for me, that came from kind of two cards, Search for Azcanta, as well as my number one card, which is going to be... why can't I remember its name? The Exile card.
Vraska's Contempt?
Vraska's Contempt, yeah. Really? That might be my number one.
Really? But it isn't really
seeing
play.
It was such a good card.
It was, but I don't know if it's going to be good in Pioneer.
That's
though.
True. You know what? It is no longer really seeing play, so maybe it doesn't fit... you know, Search for Azcanta is kind of falling off as well.
I think Search for Azcanta is still really good. It's a great enabler card. I mean, you don't have to play it only in control decks. People play it in, like I said, the God Pharaoh's Gift deck, God Pharaoh's Gift deck, or the other ones where Graveyard Matters. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think maybe I even saw it in like a Sultai Soul Flayer deck. Anything.
All right, you are cut off from mentioning Soul Flayer for the rest of the
episode. I'm sorry. But I'm saying it enables a lot of graveyard strategies. And I would say it might even get better in the new Theros Beyond Death format, just because a lot of those cards have escape things. So you want to be able to consistently put those cards in the graveyard.
Yeah, it's a little bit slow. It's just like a tiny bit too slow as far as filling your graveyard, but I do like it.
But would you rather have that, or would you rather have Jace?
I'd rather have that, still.
Because Jace gets pushed or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree. I think Search for Azcanta, maybe not the strongest card, but one of the best enablers. And once it flips, it's just so strong in like those control decks.
All right, another nice strategy that kind of got enabled with all these cheap pirates and cheap... Merfolk sort of is blue aggressive strategies kind of came back around this time. So you know, we got the one I was going to say is Curious Obsession.
Yeah.
A very powerful card.
Is it good enough for Pioneer though, I'm wondering?
I think it is. I think I've seen it in the blue devotion decks, especially because they care about that blue pip.
Do they have the Storm Tamer in there too?
Siren Storm Tamer is another one from this set.
Yeah. I mean, it's very good for budget decks, definitely, you know, like mono blue. I was going to say, for my next choice, Rekindling Phoenix is probably in my top three, if not one of the best.
It's a cool card. Yeah, that's that one's good. You know, the 4/3 that comes back as a red elemental.
Yeah.
Powerful card.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a Temurge strategy that was playing it, and it's just a solid all-around good red mid-range card as well, I think.
Oh, if I can find the slots for it, I'd love to play that guy with the new card that when a 4-power creature dies, you get 2 shaman or satyrs.
Yeah.
There's something there. I'm going to have to mess with that.
Oh, you mean with Rekindling Phoenix?
Yeah.
I think in a strong, but I haven't really delved into the new Beyond Death.
There's some cool stuff. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, next week, definitely.
Or maybe sooner.
What else? What other cards would you say are really good Pioneer cards from the Ixalan block?
Ooh, so I'm trying to think of, I might have to just say like Merfolk's Rank Watcher, but I kind of want to lump those three into one.
The Jade Light Ranger and Branchwalker.
Yeah.
It enables a whole strategy. So,
mm-hmm.
Outside of that strategy, it doesn't see a lot of play, though, sadly.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's a few of those cards, like really powerful in standard mm-hmm. cards that haven't made it to Pioneer. Like, I think Ravenous Chupacabra was from the set.
Yeah.
As well as Hostage Taker. You know, really not seeing any play.
Yeah. Hostage Taker still seems decent.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about Scarab God earlier, and, you know, in Frontier, there was Scarab God plus Hostage Taker plus the 2/2 flyer, white, black, blue. Sorry, one black, blue. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Spectre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so that deck actually did really good in Frontier, and I think we could see Hostage Taker, but that'd be an honorable mention for me.
We might need Grixis Mono be just a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get there.
A card that I think is still strong but isn't really seeing a lot of play right now in Pioneer is Field of Ruin.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm glad we
have. I think that there's a couple of good things like Field of Ruin, and I think Sorcerer's Spyglass was also in this set.
Yeah, yeah. But like
those are nice answers.
Like we are so, I mean, the format is so bad at destroying land. That's the whole reason why we couldn't, you know, we had to ban Field of the Dead. Because basically, yeah. Field of Ruin is the only way you could deal with it.
Yeah, and that one wasn't great at Field of the Dead because they just get another land.
Yeah, yeah. So, Rampaging Ferocidon. I'm so happy to see it back. I'm glad it's not banned.
Yeah, cool card. That sees a little bit of play.
It's a great...
Mostly like a sideboard yep. card, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So, a very much needed card in mono red against any decks that have life gain in it.
That's about all I can think of from these two sets here. You know, Galta sees some play, but
yeah.
Maybe honorable mention that.
I think if I was going to talk about one more card, it would be Settle the Wreckage.
Mm, that's a great one. How did we miss that?
Yeah, I didn't miss
it. We forgot the whites of color. Yeah. No, that's a great card. It continues to be very strong.
You know, just gets around all of those hexproof, indestructible strategies like Something Flare.
No, get out of here. All right, we're calling that a yes. show. Goodbye, guys.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that's another good card. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, these two planes, they bring a lot of solid, you know, key cards. Nothing that would really enable, you know, or stand alone on its own. Like archetype wise, but still, I think good cards.
All right, so if you're looking at these kind of four sets, is there anything that's like waiting in the weeds? Like, hey, we got one more good blank card, we would have a blank strategy.
Well, like we said already, the tribal strategy. So if you had a couple more good dinosaurs or good pirates or things like that,
that's fair, yeah. Or maybe God Pharaoh's Gift could be another one of those kind of on the border here.
Yeah, I mean, God Pharaoh's Gift has. It's got double hate. It's, you know, artifact hate plus graveyard hate makes it kind of in a rough spot, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Alrighty. So we are a Soul Flare podcast. Thanks
yes,
for listening.
Thank you. Everything Soul Flare. All flavors.
Yeah, so if you guys want to hear more about this, if you want us to talk some other things, or if there's any cards you are excited about from the brand new set coming out, because we are going to be recording that soon, just tweet out at us. I'm at MTG Pioneer. We have an MTG Pioneer subreddit that we help with. There's a Discord. A lot of good ways to find us. How are we coming on iTunes? I'm assuming by the time this is out, yeah, we're on iTunes, and I'm going to hold you to that.
iTunes we should be on already, and I think we just posted our fifth show, so right? Spotify will be going up pretty soon. We're going to try to work on Google Play after that, maybe, so hopefully we'll be at a couple different places once we find the time to get that together.
A lot of ways to reach out to us, but make sure to let us know what you think, what you'd like to hear more of. And you can also reach Ryan.
So, yes, you can find me at Yoshwenky on Twitter, which is Yoschwenky. And I have my website, www.thejapanhobbyist.com. Mostly I just post my new podcast on there at the moment. But hopefully eventually I'll have some more, you know, Japanese MTG content. Like we said, looking forward to Theros Beyond Death. Spoiler next week, talk about that. Hopefully we can come back to this topic maybe in a month or two somewhere down the road. And if you feel like you want to come on and talk about some of those other planes with us, you know, let us know. Give us a message and, you know, we'll work something out.
Yep, that sounds good. All right, guys, this has been fun. I am Kevin Finkel once again, and we are Magic the First Pioneers. We keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. Signing off.